Thank you, Dan. The reading today is taken from Acts chapter 20, verse 17 to 35. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now, I know that none of you, among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom, will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Here ends the reading, and over to you, Ying.
Okay, firstly, let's do a sound test. I just want to make sure everyone hears me, so let's do a thumbs up quickly. Just a thumbs up on your reaction. Fantastic, we're all ready to go. Okay, folks, let me say first a welcome to everyone here for the very first time. Welcome to those on Zoom land and welcome to those who are meeting here physically. For many people, it's been 7 months in the waiting, but it's actually good to be here once again, meeting together. And if you're new here for the very first time, my name's Ying. I am the English pastor here at the Chinese Christian Church. For many years, I was the only sole pastor, but now I'm very blessed to have two others with Dan, who you just met. And also, Winston, later on, you might meet some other weeks when he gets opportunity to preach. Well, today's actually a very special day, a very, very special day, because today we come to celebrate the baptism of five of our members of our church. And baptism, when you think, celebration of baptism is a very special day. Think about it. If you're not used to coming to church, there are three times in the year when people go to church. You know what those days are? Christmas, funerals, and the other day is baptism. And that highlights just how important baptism is, even in the minds of many people who don't go to church. Baptism is an important part of the Christian calendar, important part of church history. But it begs the question, what is baptism? And I think initially said there's a lot of confusion here as to what baptism is. Some people think baptism is like a graduation ceremony. That is to say, they've done all the right things and now they feel that they're ready to get baptized, right? It's a graduation ceremony. That's how some people think. Some people think baptism is like earning brownie points. I do enough good deeds, and baptism is one of them, and that hopefully will add a lot of credit points to get me into heaven. Some people like to see baptism as like a mystical experience. I get baptized, and wow, I'm a different person. So there are a lot of ideas about what baptism is, but I want to say here, there's a lot of confusion. All these different ideas in many ways highlights the confusion that people have about what baptism is. And that confusion undoubtedly arises because many people are confused about what Christianity is. So today, as we celebrate the baptism of five of our candidates, it is a good opportunity not only to celebrate with them their baptism, but also go back to basics, what Christianity is all about. And when we understand what Christianity is all about, then we will understand, get a better understanding of baptism. But before we dive into that, I thought I'd start by thinking about this question of trash and treasure. I know that every year we have the council cleanup, which everyone here would have one. And that is that's when you get the opportunity to de-hoard your house, throw all the stuff onto the sidewalk or the pavement, and for the council to pick it up and throw it in the tip. But we also know that when you throw it out, people come along and just pick up things because you might think it's trash, other might people think it's treasure. Well, I actually want to have a look at some of these slides. Now, I'm going to ask Justin, our slide king. Justin, can you show a slide? Justin, I hope you're online. Ah, awesome. Show that first slide. Here, not that one, but that's the one. Now, here is someone who turned trash into treasure. You know what those things are? Now, many of the younger generation probably don't know what they are, but they were the ancient version of MP3 players, or not even that. They were the ancient version of Spotify. They are LP discs that basically people throw away. This guy has taken this trash and turned it into treasure and made an artwork. Let's go to the next one. Next slide, Justin. Next slide. Thank you. Now, what do you do with an old kettle? Instead of throwing it out, which I'm tempted to do, you turn it into an aquarium. Let's try the next slide. Now, what would you do with the old bed? What would you do? What would you do? Now, I'm going to test this out. Let's get on the Zoom land. Let's go on a chat, right? I want to get on a chat. What would you do with old beds? How would you turn that trash into treasure? Now, once you type in there, now, if you're in meeting in physical land, maybe what you can do is talk amongst yourself and just designate someone to race up to the camera and type in, this is what we do, all right? So I don't know anyone in Turkey here. Just chat amongst yourself. What would you do with an old bed, with the old bed? You know what I do? I throw it out. But what would people do? Okay, does anyone give it a shot? Okay, harvest the springs. Interesting. Wrestling arena, sofa, build a fort. That must be a kid. Make a jumping castle, trampoline, give it to your siblings. Turn into curtains, trampoline. Okay. Okay, Justin, show us what one guy did. Wow, he turned it into a new suit. Okay, what would you do? Ever thought about that? That's trash, turn into treasure. Let's have a look at the next slide, Justin. Next slide. Ah, okay, now, you know what that is? Anyone know what that is? Annabelle, do you know what that is? One of our baptism candidates? You know what that is?
Fancy.
A CD, not a CD player, a CD. Now, what's a CD? Anyone know what a CD is? The older generation would know. The young ones, what's a CD? All right. Well, what would you do with the old CDs that you don't want? Okay, let's go into Zoom land. Compact disc. Thank you for someone. What would you do with old CDs? Okay, what would you do? Let's go back to the Zoom land. How would you do? Scare birds away?
Frisbee?
No. Hang them on trees to scare the birds. Is that it? Anything else? That's it. What would you do? Anyone in the main hall? No idea. Decorations, coasters, jewellery. Okay, let's see what one person did with these old CDs. Justin, let's show it up. Wow! Turn it into decor for your shoes. Okay, Justin, you can stop sharing. It's always great to have a mask behind the scenes. Trash, one person's trash is another person's treasure. Mm-hmm. And the passage we want to look at today, in one sense, reminds us It's really the theme of treasure or trash to treasure, because when you look at the Christian community and the Christian message and the Christian church, in the eyes of the world, this is trash, that's garbage. It's at best, it's you dismiss it. But in the eyes of God, what the world considers trash, God considers treasure. So what we're looking at today is we're continuing in our story of the book of Acts. Now, if you're new here, that's what we're going through. We're going through a part of the Bible known as the book of Acts. And what is the book of Acts? Well, the book of Acts is really a part of the Bible which gives the account of how the church, how the Christian message grew from very small beginnings to become a worldwide phenomena that basically turned the whole world upside down. And in the book of Acts, it gives basically an exciting account of lives being transformed, of communities and societies being turned upside down, of churches springing up all over the Roman Empire. And also, when you read through the book of Acts, you see a glimpse of the message that turned things around. What is the Christian message? And you see that in the book of Acts. And you've got to ask yourself a question. Despite all the obstacles that you read in the book of Acts, all the obstacles against the Christian people, against the Christian church, and the way people mock the Christian message, the church and the Christian message continue to spread and grow and get stronger and stronger and stronger until it's become a worldwide phenomenon. But it begs the question, why is it that it keeps growing? And the big idea of the book of Acts, it's because of Jesus. Jesus is not just a dead historical figure. The book of Acts makes it very clear that Jesus is alive and kicking. He's ruling in heaven. And he's actually on a mission to turn rebels into followers, to turn people turning against him to follow him. And he's on this unstoppable mission to make followers of people of this world. And the book of Acts is really an account of how Jesus is working in this world to turn people into his followers. And that unstoppable mission is a mission that continues to go on right around the four corners of the world and throughout history for the last 2,000 years. And it's still unstoppable. We're going to pause for a moment and look at chapter 20. And chapter 20 is an interesting, right almost towards the end of the book. And in chapter 20, we take a pause on this mission, and we read about a speech to a church where the missionary, the leader, he's on this journey to talk to people about Jesus. He pauses and he gives a farewell speech to a group of community, a church that he loves very dearly. And in this farewell speech, he says something very phenomenal. He tells us what he thinks about this church. He tells us what he thinks about the church. He tells us, inside to him, he gives us some astonishing truths about what the Christian community is all about. And when you think about the baptism candidates that we're looking at, that we're here to celebrate their baptism, in many ways, what he says is also relevant today, because it also is a picture of what these guys are all about. And there's four things that Paul wants to tell us. And the first thing is that they belong to God. They belong to God. In that sermon, in that message, this is what Paul the Apostle says, okay? Hey, Justin, can I get you to put up slide that passage, Acts chapter 20, 28? Just have a look at that passage here. Let's see if he's on the mark or not. If he's on the mark, that's okay. No, he's not on the mark. That's okay. This is what Paul has to say. Keep watch over yourselves and over the flock which the Holy Spirit made you overseers. Be shepherds. That's it. Thanks, Justin. Be shepherds of the church of God which he bought with his own blood. I'm just going to zero on this verse for today, right? So it's going to make it easy. I'm not going to go through the whole lot. But I want to highlight a few things that this verse tells us, right? The first thing this verse tells us is that they belong to God. How so? Because notice what it says here in verse 28. Be shepherds of the church of God which he bought with his own blood. You know, when you buy something, you know what it means? You own it. You buy a car because and it becomes your car. You buy a computer, it becomes your car. The people, the church, is a very special community because they have been bought by God, and therefore they belong to God. God owns them. Now, that's an astonishing thing when you think about it, because when you think about it, every one of us likes needs to belong to something or someone. We need to know that we belong to a family. We belong to a sports club. We belong to a community. We belong to this workplace. We belong. Belonging is such an important thing to each one of us, which is why it's very hard to be an orphan, why it's very hard to be in a community and you don't feel that you belong, where people therefore leave and therefore they go to look for another community where they can feel that they belong. Belonging is such an important thing. The Bible tells us that we belong to God. These baptismal candidates are declaring today something extraordinary. They actually belong to God. Now, think about that. To belong to God is one of the most extraordinary things. Because we're saying, I belong to the God who created the universe. I belong to the God who rules heaven and earth. I belong to the God who actually loves me. But here's the second thing. Not only do these people belong to God, there's a second thing. They are special to God. They are very special to God. How so are they special to God? Because God bought them. God purchased them. Can you put that slide up again for us, Justin? The same slide, okay? They are special to God. God purchased them. Notice that word there, which he bought with his own blood. He talks about being bought. It's the idea of being purchased. Now, we need to know something here about the idea of them being bought.
Respond, 我想起其实当然是...
Can someone turn the phone off? Turn them, put on mute, please. Okay, let's keep going on. What is the idea of being purchased, right? Now, we need to know, when Paul talks about them being purchased, right, there is a much bigger story behind the scene. What's the bigger story? The bigger story here is that all people were once slaves. I don't know whether you believe it or not, but we actually are slaves. Now, the Bible tells us the biggest story is that we're slaves. What? We're slaves to a broken nature which enslaves us to broken ways. We're slaves to an unseen ruler called the devil. And we're slaves to a destiny of facing God's anger that we cannot break away from. We are slaves. But the Bible, how do you get a slave out for freedom? How do you free a slave? You purchase them. And that's the whole idea here, that God has purchased our freedom. And when you think about God has purchased your freedom, that says that you're special. When you go and buy something, you go and think about it. When the Bible says that we have been purchased, it highlights that we are so special to God that not only do we belong to God, God went the extra mile to go out and buy us. He purchased our freedom so that we can belong to God. That's the second thing. But the third thing, right? Notice what this verse also says in verse 28. Not only do we belong to God, we are special to God because God purchased us. But notice how much it costs God. Look at what it says in verse 28. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with what? His own blood. What is that saying? It's saying for God to actually buy us our freedom and give us new life and give us a new life, it cost him literally everything. What is the most important thing that you treasure above all else, all above everything else? You know what it is? Your life. You will actually, if you had to choose between your car and your life, you'll choose your life. If you had to choose all the money in the bank and your life, you'll choose your life. Notice what this passage is saying here. It is saying here that God gave up everything to purchase our freedom from sin, from Satan, from the destiny of judgment that awaited. And what did it cost God? It cost God everything. Because it says to us in that verse, he paid it with the price of his own blood. Now you think about it, right? Putting aside the craziness and the kookiness of Donald Trump, right? Just putting that aside. Imagine he's walking in the street of New York and then he comes across a homeless guy And in an act of generosity, he decides to give the homeless guy $10. Now you think, okay, we think to ourselves, well, okay, that's pretty cool. Right. And then we forget about it. Just imagine next day the guy, Donald Trump, walks past the guy and gives him not $10, not $20, but $1,000. You know what? The news will start to be buzzing, sort of. Well, you know, he's a billionaire, $1,000. Okay, that's good. Just imagine the next day he walks around the same guy and he gives him $1,000,000. Boy, the news would be buzzing with this guy's, and they would start turning their head. So what's Donald Trump trying to do? Well, you got to say it, giving him $1,000,000. Okay, it's still nothing compared to the billions he has, but $1,000,000 is pretty cool. But let me ask you this question. Would you ever consider, would you ever think that Donald Trump would give away all his wealth to this homeless guy? Would you ever think about that? Would you think he could do it? I think we know without second guessing he would not. No way. It might be a stretch to give $1,000,000, maybe even a harder stretch, $2 million, $10 million, that's really hard. But with certainty he would never trade his life for anyone because he's such a narcissistic egomaniac, right? We know that, right? Here's the funny thing. What did God give to us to rescue us, to buy our freedom? You know what he gave us? His own life. He didn't give us riches. He didn't give us more money. He didn't give a bigger bank balance. He didn't give nice cars and nice. He gave us something better, bigger, infinite beyond imagine. He gave us his life. This is what Jesus once said about himself. I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. I came not to be served, for even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. This is why, think about it. Let's go to the next slide, Justin. This is why when you think about it, what is the Christian message all about? When you think about the Christian message, what is it? It's good. What good for what? Well, let's go to the next slide. Is it good advice? That's how a lot of people think of the Christian message is. Next slide. I'd say no. There's a lot of good ideas there, but it's not really described as good advice. What about the next slide? Is it good rules? A lot of people think, oh, it's all about morals and doing these sorts of things. Is it really about good rules? Next slide. No. So next slide, what is it good about? What is it really good about? Next slide. It's really good news. See, what is the gospel? The gospel is good news. Thanks, Justin. It's good news. It is really about what God has done, that he went the extraordinary length to come down to earth, to give his life up, to purchase our freedom so that we can belong to God. You see, when we look at what Paul tells us, the speech tells us that Christians are a very special group of people. They belong to God. They are special to God. They are priceless to God. But there's a fourth thing. And you know what the fourth thing? The fourth thing is that they are protected by God. This is what Paul sort of comes to the end of his sermon. This is what he says in verse 32. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What does Paul say? I commit you to God and the word of his grace. What is Paul actually saying in this speech? You belong to God. You are special to God. You are priceless before God. And God is the one who will protect you. You know, we have endangered species in our world today. And we write up laws to protect them. We're not talking about laws. We're talking about God who's going to protect his people. So today when we look at celebrate baptism, right, what's baptism all about? The baptism is a celebration, a declaration that these people being baptized are very special people because they belong to God. They are special to God. They are priceless to God, and they are protected by God to the very end. And baptism, when you think about it, is a sign, a symbol, and a seal of how unique these people are, which is why when you think about it, in the history of the Christian church, Christmas is important. Yes, funerals, but so are baptism, because it sends a very, very powerful message to the baptism candidates and to them. You guys belong to God. You guys are special to God. You guys are priceless because God gave up everything to rescue you and buy your freedom. And you are therefore protected by God. Well, I talked about trash and treasure, didn't I, in the beginning? What the world thinks is trashy, a lot of people think is treasure. World might look at these people and think they're just kooks. They want to believe in a dead savior, so to speak. But God says, no, these guys belong to me. These guys are precious. They are priceless. I'm protecting them because they are my treasure. Well, how about I close in prayer before we move to the next part of our service, which is the baptism itself. So let me pray. Father, we give you thanks that you have purchased people for yourself that cost you literally everything. We are priceless for those who believe in Jesus. They are priceless in your eyes, special. We belong to you. And Father, you protect us. We give you thanks for what Jesus done for us in his mighty name. Amen.